go.
Who the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We have a knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
You're cool.
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Knights of Nerd YouTube podcast. We're a podcast for all things nerd. My name is Chris. I'm here with
Sam
and Sean.
And on Skype, we have
6-time Super Bowl champion, John.
Ending on a sour note for those of us who are not Patriots fans. Anyway, yeah. Welcome, everyone. If you do have any comments, questions, concerns, if you do have topics, I want to get this out of the way now. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsOfNerdtitude. On this week's episode, what we're going to do is continue our Oscar discussion. We are seeing we're going to discuss two more Best Picture movies that 75% of us has watched each of them. Then we're also, what we're going to do, and those two movies are Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody. Mm-hmm. Then we're also going to talk about the Super Bowl TV spots and favorite commercial, worst commercial. The Super Bowl was boring to some. Some didn't like the outcome. Some did like the outcome, John. And then we're going to go into all the TV spots. We're kind of not going to talk about the other stuff. Let's just get right into it. We might as well. We're not going to get into Avengers Endgame, right, guys?
The only thing I have to say about it really quick is if you rewatch the trailer, there's some buzz going out. If you watch, there's like two shots. They quickly show like the leftover Avengers, and there's a giant gaping hole in both groups. And, you know, Marvel has been known to edit out characters from their trailers, like Spider-Man from Civil War. They edited him out of the trailer so he wasn't there. And then even last year with Infinity War, they added the Hulk running in Wakanda towards the bad guys, which obviously never happened. So people are wondering if somebody was edited out in both those shots. Because there, if you go back and look at it, there is a big gap between two characters.
Okay.
Probably safe to say there's some editing going on there.
Right.
Just even stuff we might not be aware of.
The belief right now is that it's Captain Marvel. That's it.
Deception. There's always deception with those trailers nowadays.
Probably, probably a good guess. Speaking of Captain Marvel, yet another more Captain Marvel trailer, and I don't really have much to say on this one either, although I'll pass on one thing that I heard that I thought was interesting, is this trailer is like now the third different trailer, like promoting like a third different movie. Like essentially this one being like, oh yeah, it's a military movie.
It's like Top Gun.
Right. Except chicks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hey, that's actually kind of a cool concept. That's not going to be this movie though.
Right.
No. Agreed.
So
I don't know if we want to linger on Captain Marvel. No. It's coming out in a month.
I got one thing. I don't know if I brought this up yet on Captain Marvel. It's that I'm a little worried on this movie simply because of Brie Larson's acting in the trailers.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't seem very good.
All right.
Seems very wooden.
We'll do,
and I'm really worried about that.
We can do kind of predictions later in March when the movie actually comes out.
Closer to the
due date. So we've already discussed these at length.
Yeah.
So I don't want to kind of spend too much time on it. So. Let's continue on with some more of these TV spots and movie trailers, and I'm pretty sure we have already discussed Hobbs and Shaw.
Did we?
Once before?
No, we did not.
No, I think it dropped the next day after we recorded.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, this is obviously the spinoff from Fast and Furious, where it's just Jason Statham and The Rock's character, and Idris Elba's the bad guy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the... Princess Margaret from The Crown is in it. I'm kind of into this. And I don't even really see these movies.
Yeah, I was going to say, has anybody seen all of them except for me?
No.
I have not seen. One day, I will sit down and watch all of them.
Okay.
Are you going to watch them in chronological order or number order?
Number order? I didn't know they were not in chronological order.
They are not.
Okay. All right. But all I know is one that I've seen at least part of it is Tokyo Drift, which doesn't bode well for me.
Watch them in number order.
Yeah.
I'm telling you now, watch them in number order. So, but we didn't discuss this trailer, no. So I'll just want to, I'll be quick on it. Yeah. I think it just looks fun.
Yeah, it looks just like how I did last year with The Meg, where I was like, oh, it's one of these kind of movies. All right, I'm in.
Man, why not?
It looks incredibly dumb.
I will tell you this on the movies that oh my god, I forgot the actors' names already.
Who?
Of Hobbs and Shaw.
Statham and The Rock.
Jesus God, it's a long day.
Wow.
So the chemistry in the Fast and Furious movies between those two was really good. And it was fun. So I think hopefully it should play well in this.
It'll carry over.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Who knows? We might get another 7 Hobbs and Shaw movies.
What got me is like all the like descriptor lines of Hobbs and Shaw were the most generic action movie descriptions I've ever heard. Like when like they were describing Jason Statham's character, I don't know which one is.
Oh yeah, he's like, doesn't play well with others.
No, he's like, we need to operate outside the law. I'm just like, that has been in every single action movie trailer.
Yeah. Were you expecting anything else? I mean, no. Come on, we're not expecting anything else.
It's a Jason Statham movie, yeah. Right? Like,
important thing to note: this is the second full trailer, I believe. Or the first full trailer, and this movie comes out in 7 months.
That's fine. That's normal.
6 months.
That's normal.
Yeah, that's about it.
You think that's good?
Yeah.
About normal?
No, that's normal.
Okay. I just think it's a little early.
No, that's normal.
Because we have seen a lot of the movie already in this trailer.
I feel like we have.
I've already seen this movie. I know the plot in my head right now. Like
the bigger question is, where does this fit into the Rock universe?
The Rockiverse?
Yeah, the Rockiverse. Is this after or prior to Skyscraper?
I don't believe we ever hashed out a Rockiverse. We did the Wahlberg-verse.
Wahlberg.
The Wahlverse? Yeah. We did do that.
I believe that's just the Southie-verse. But...
We got tweets.
We haven't done one. All right, maybe we'll do one.
Yeah, we'll figure something out for the Rock.
But, no, this movie just looks fun. Any other final notes? It comes out in August.
But there's not much to talk about in this movie.
Okay. I didn't think there was.
I feel that, though, at the end of the day, there's a lot of talk about how Idris Elba is this like really, really well-respected actor. This is kind of a paycheck for him.
As was the one with Matthew McConaughey.
To be fair, he does movies like this.
I know, but I feel like ever since like he came on and everybody was like, oh, he's the best, it's like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to do Dark Tower. It's like, why?
He was in Pacific Rim.
Yeah, but Pacific Rim was actually like for what it was, it wasn't a cheese fest.
He was in Pacific Rim.
He wasn't.
I understand he was in Pacific Rim, but
it was the movie where the robots fight each other.
And it was more than that of a movie. Like
Idris Elba is a very, very good actor.
He is, and I'm just very surprised that he takes roles like this.
I'm not.
Why not? He has a wide range.
I'm sorry. I thought opinions were allowed in this room.
Apparently not. Dude, we had a whole hour discussion about Russia.
I thought this was America.
Jesus.
No, like if I
was. Are you saying he's not good enough to be in a movie like this?
I think he's too good.
I mean, Chad, there's like a reason why everybody's like he's going to be a good Bond.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be like, it's roles like this, where it's like, to be honest, watching this trailer, one of the main reasons why I would want to see this is him. He looks like a good bad guy.
He looks so generic.
Yeah, he would be a good bad guy.
I mean, Charlize Theron was in the other one.
Yeah.
She played a good villain.
Yeah.
And the trailers didn't come off as a good villain.
And she was pretty good.
But I haven't seen the movie, so.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly.
It scares me, it being Fast and the Furious franchise.
Sean, he pushes the torpedo into another car.
It's been like over a year, Sam.
You still haven't seen it yet.
I can't get over that.
You have to watch it, Sam. It's fantastic.
He pushes a torpedo into a car.
You know what?
Just think about that.
You know what also looks fantastic? Alita, not.
I think it looks fantastic.
Another movie.
I think it looks great.
Is this another comic book
adaptation? It's anime.
Anime.
Yeah.
So it's very similar to Ghost in the Shell.
Is this a Ghost in the Shell problem
where like the characters were Asian and now they're
not? No, it's a weird problem where they were like, why'd she make her eyes big? And I swear to God, that's like an issue on the internet. No, I think this movie looks awesome. Is it going to be? No, I think the script is going to bury this thing. Like,
so you're thinking Valeria?
Yes. Okay. This is a Valerian all over again. It's going to look amazing.
I mean, it does have star power. I'll give it that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give it.
Oh, it's
very
got Mahershala Ali, right?
Yep. And then Mahershala, it also has
and what's his name? The Austrian guy.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz. Yeah.
No, but the female lead was also.
She was in Bird Box.
The
critically acclaimed Bird Box.
Yes. She was the Machine Gun Kelly's cop girl.
Guy with okay. Yep. I know. Her. I remember. Yep.
Yeah.
I just can't get over how like shitty she looks.
Like with the big eyes?
Like the big eyes. She just looks wrong.
Yeah. I have
like she's deep in the uncanny valley.
Mm.
Yeah. This movie's gonna lose so much money, it's hilarious.
Oh yeah, no, it will.
Jennifer Connelly's also in this.
Oh yeah, that's right, she is. No, I think the movie looks good. I think it'll be pretty cool in 3D and in the IMAX, but I think the script and the is just gonna be horrible.
I'm not that crazy about this.
I'm not. I'm like
I
was more into Valerian.
Oh, it's a Robert Rodriguez movie?
That's the only thing that's giving anything a saving grace is that it's a Robert Rodriguez movie.
So it's a Robert Rodriguez movie written by James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
John's going to be first in line.
It's almost... Well, no, there's just like a perverse like interest in seeing it now. Like, what the fuck is that going to be?
Right. Like, I mean, Robert Rodriguez, I mean... Say what you will about that Spy Kids franchise, but it, you know what? It launched one of the greatest heroes the silver screen has ever seen, Uncle Machete.
Yeah. here's the thing about Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron. They're in some ways they're like cut from the same cloth, but they're like total like opposite ends of the spectrum.
Yeah,
Like James, they're both like big like action guys, but Cameron is like legit like over the top, and Robert Rodriguez is just, you know, like very pulpy, like over the top in like a ridiculous way.
Mm.
You know, so
like Cameron's over the top with a big budget because he gets that with his name, whereas Robert Rodriguez is over the top with a small budget.
Right.
So it's weird that Robert Rodriguez, yeah, pretty much. Oh, Sin City, Predators was... Yeah.
Sin City was his.
I All the Spy Kids.
You're really harping on that one, aren't you?
Did he do Lava Girl and Shark Boy?
I think he might have.
Because that is a Scott Spy Kids movie.
Oh, yeah. Head. And then, obviously, he did both Machete movies. Because, you know, same universe. Dusk Till Dawn, yeah, that was Robert Rodriguez. He was part of Grindhouse. Movie. That's the other thing, like Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino are good friends too, and they help each other out from time to time.
You know what Robert Rodriguez should make? A Zorro movie.
I think he would do an awesome
job. Yeah, like it just occurred to me, I'm like, because like I thought of Mask of Zorro, I'm like, man, he didn't direct that.
No, but yeah.
He should.
I bet you could do a good job with it.
I think so too.
I think you might be able to give it like a good...
Like a pulpy, like Mask of Zorro?
Get a little bit of Sin City style in there. Yeah, not like, go overboard. Don't go overboard with that, but yeah, I think it would come out good.
You know, it's been almost 15 years since we got a Zorro movie. There's no reason why we can't get another one going.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and this time
like
Banderas hands it off to the next one.
Who has that, by the way? Who has that?
I have no idea.
IP.
Isn't it like Fox or something?
No, it's not. I don't think it's
no
Fox.
Idea.
I literally.
It'll be really weird if this ended up in the hands
so
of Disney.
Long. Oh, God. No, they have the Lone Ranger.
So this film, Alita Battle Angel, comes out. Do you want to know the IMDb rating right now?
It's not good.
7.7.
Oh, really?
Yep. So it's not awful. All right. Metacritic is 53, but
7.7 this early for an IMDb is not great.
Comes out the 14th of February, so we're a week away. So it's
just
kind of not as bad as it could be, but these are critics, so who knows what the fans are going to do to this thing when it comes out.
Hmm.
And that comes out, what did I say? Valentine's Day? Yeah, it comes out Valentine's Day. So that's what, a week?
So perfect week? Valentine's Day movie.
Yeah, right. Runtime, 2 hours, 2 minutes.
Oh, Zorro is owned by Spielberg.
Well, Spielberg.
Yeah, Spielberg has the rights to it.
I mean, Spielberg.
So anyway, our interest is kind of waning with Alita, or is it...
It was never there.
It was never there, but I mean, if it gets good reviews, I might check it out. Like, same, like, curiosity, same with, like, Ghost in the Shell. I was curious, and that's why I watched it.
All right, so next up, we haven't talked about Wonder Park. It's an animated film by Nickelodeon.
Next.
Got it. March 15th. And then this one intrigues me a lot. Jordan Peele, the director of Get Out. This movie is called Us.
Yes. This is one of two Jordan Peele things that came out during the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it looks like he's finding his place in horror.
Yeah.
In this film, the trailer portrays a family who is, I guess, haunted by this...
No, what it is, it's a black family goes on vacation and basically meets their doppelgangers. So all these people tormenting them in their house are them.
Okay.
So, okay. And Tim Heidecker is in this film with a major role.
Okay.
Which, if you don't know who Tim Heidecker is, if you've ever watched Adult Swim and you've seen, like, Tim and Eric, Awesome Show, Great Job, or any like thing like that, that is Tim Heidecker.
I don't need anybody to draw me to this aside from Jordan.
No, it looks amazing, and I'm...
Yeah, it looks interesting.
He did a great job.
Creepy. Just like, you're like, what the heck is going on here?
Lupita Nyong'o's in it.
I mean, spoiler alert, but the trailer already said it's us, you know?
Right.
The kids said it.
That's why I said that they meet their doppelgangers.
Which, like, that intrigues me, because it's like, that's not the twist. Because you know there's going to be a toy.
Oh, yeah. There's got to be something. There's got to be something else.
Because you're sitting there like, why are there doppelgangers here?
Right.
I'm 100% in on this movie.
Yeah.
100% in on this movie. When's the thing is, Christina's not going to want to see this movie.
Bros Night Out.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not usually crazy about
I'll
horror
bring the
movies,
blankies to hide behind.
We get to sit next to each other in the theater.
Oh, man.
Did we ever discuss how we all feel about putting seats in between us in movie theaters if you go with two guys?
No, I always the only time I've ever gone is like with Sam, and but if there's like no one in the movie theater, you can
spread out. Yeah,
spread the fuck out.
Okay.
Man, what's your take on people, like, if it's like a pretty much empty theater and someone like sits in the row in front of you?
Not even the row, like the seat in front of you.
Yeah, seat in front of me pisses me off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, either go one more row up or go behind me or something.
I'll move if that's the case.
I was here first.
Yeah.
So what, you pee on my guy or something?
No, honestly, if there's no one and I sit down, my feet are up.
Oh,
I put
my
feet on the chairs in front of me until the movie starts, then I'll put my feet down. But even then, it's backfired on me. The best place, though, is all the way at the bottom where the bar is. You sit right there at the bar, and, I mean, you got all the room in the world.
Yeah.
See,
but that's not a great place to watch.
Yeah, a couple seats, rows back.
Yeah.
That's the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, like something like, a third or halfway up the, if you're doing the stadium-style seating, a third or halfway up the back is probably.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't want the wings. The wings suck.
The wings aren't too bad. It's that front section.
Oh, yeah, the flat section.
Where we saw Logan, I hated that.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, though, if it's, like, super crowded up top, fuck it. I don't care.
Mm.
Yeah, no. Seemingly, whenever I'm in the front row, I'm watching a good movie. Because I'm thinking, like...
Like...
I saw...
Episode 1 of Phantom Menace.
But I can't believe we sat that close.
For a 3D movie.
But, like, I saw Arrival, like, really close.
Yeah.
I thought you saw Arrival with me. Oh, no, I saw it alone. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I saw it with you, Sean.
Nope, I have yet to see Arrival.
No, you saw it with the weirdest combination, Amy and me.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, man, that was weird. How did the three of us end up together?
Anyway.
So moving on. So Jordan Peele, Us.
Yeah.
March 22nd. So it's very, very soon. I'm surprised that this is the first trailer I'm seeing.
No, the trailer's been out for a while.
It has been? Okay.
Yeah, it came out a while ago.
This is the first time I've actually seen it, though.
what's interesting, I think Sam was kind of getting to this earlier, like Kim, I'm not like a huge horror guy, but I love seeing that there's somebody like legit in like the horror space just like making a bunch of shit too, because he's doing this Twilight Zone project for CBS. I think it's just CBS All Access.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is.
CBS All Access.
Yeah, so they're actually starting to put some interesting stuff behind that paywall, so we'll see.
It's interesting that you put it as there's somebody like in this genre now that like does put out stuff when this is his second project.
Yeah, but he's like a big enough name now like he could move beyond horror.
Oh yeah, no, I agree. But I wouldn't even
call Get Out horror either.
Right,
I'd call it a thriller. Suspense thriller. Yeah.
Which I feel like this is totally going to be a suspense thriller. It's not.
I got the horror feel watching.
But I also got the horror feel from Get Out, the trailer.
Yeah. The trailer. Okay.
So I mean, it doesn't matter as long as I have a good feeling about this. I'm just going to leave it there.
All right. So this comes out March 22nd, and John, you already mentioned Twilight Zone's coming back, CBS All Access with Jordan Peele. Is he going to be a producer on it?
Is he going to be a co-writer, I believe.
Okay. So
I believe he's just a producer now, but that usually means that they write a couple episodes.
Yeah.
So
I mean, he's going to be pretty much like the Rod Serling role. So, you know, a show like this where it's an anthology series where essentially, you know, each episode is its own sort of thing, own separate story. It's probably not going to be where he's got his hands deep in every episode. I'm sure he'll probably be doing some. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of an interesting thing for him to be doing on top of everything else. So,
and we mentioned this already, is going to be on CBS All Access. Does this sway you guys to actually buy it now?
No.
Still no.
Close.
No.
It moves me closer, but yeah,
This is the show. This is a show that you need to release that first episode on TV, not Star Trek Discovery. This is the show.
I'd still say Star Trek Discovery. No.
Because Star Trek, there's been so many versions of those shows that the first episode's going to give you nothing. It's just going to be character development. It's not going to be like it might not even reflect the true nature of the show. If you release one episode of Twilight Zone and it's a halfway decent episode, I'd feel more likely to be like,
Here's the thing. If reviews come out and they say this Twilight Zone is as good as the original, I might get CBS All Access because I love the original.
Right.
But I can agree with you, though. It is one step closer.
It moves me
closer.
But it's
not actually me getting it.
Yeah.
I feel like if there's anything that's going to sway the dial for me, it's like the combination of this and like the Jean-Luc Picard show.
Yeah.
Like if that comes out and that gets good reviews and this has like been talked about for a while, then I'll check it out probably.
Right. Honestly, this show needs outstanding reviews for me to consider it.
Yeah, I'd rather
not be like, oh, Twilight Zone is airing. I loved the show. I'll buy All Access so I can watch the episode. And then the first one comes out and it's like, oh, it's like that 2000 version of the Twilight Zone where they just updated the old stories.
Yeah.
This is really bad. Now I just wasted all that money on CBS All Access.
I can't imagine they would regurgitate the same.
They did in like 2000.
Yeah, I know, but this is...
Yeah,
I can't
but
imagine.
They were also like dumb. So no, I think you don't get a guy like Jordan Peele involved unless you're like willing to go and like kind of its own thing.
Right.
So.
No, I agree, but like I don't want to... You know, roll the dice on this and be because I really want to see the show, but I'd rather them preview the first episode for free on their show and then be like, but you have to buy the rest. Because if that first one is like halfway decent, it makes me want to get All Access more.
To be honest, like, I kind of want them to just be like, if you just pay this lump sum, you get the entire season.
Yeah. 15 bucks.
And like I'd do that.
Yeah,
instead of just getting CBS All Access.
Yeah.
I'm like
monthly payment.
Because it's like, well, I'll get it and watch Twilight Zone. And then I'll watch the original Twilight Zone.
Yeah. On Netflix.
Yeah, they must have all those on there too.
Yeah, you think?
But, well, I know Netflix has them all, except for the hour-long ones. Those are the only ones Netflix doesn't have, which sucks.
There you go.
I was going to say, the hour ones are the better ones.
So. Usually, because it's, you know, more story.
Not necessarily with
the Twilight all-time Zone. Best ones, though, are the half hours.
Yeah, with Twilight Zone, it's the half hour.
Because it's a quick story, boom, done, let's move on. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, so
yeah, it is kind of crazy how, like, how much you get out of, like, 20 minutes of those shows, like, 24 minutes, when, like, Netflix needs, like, 10 hours to, like, be like, oh, yeah, the guy's unhappy.
Yeah, right.
Do we, so we still got a few minutes, any on the Super Bowl area? So we're done with TV, we're done with
you got movies. Any good commercials for you, stand out for you guys?
The commercials weren't that good.
Game of Thrones?
Weren't that good this year. Game of Thrones was pretty good. I liked the T-Mobile one.
T-Mobile was awesome with, like, the I'm here for you, and he's like, thanks, I really needed somebody. He's like, no, this is your Uber, I'm here to pick you up.
It was Lyft.
Yeah, but then
Lyft.
There was another one. It's
the
Taco Bell one?
No.
The T-Mobile one was like, how are you doing? But then you see the dot, 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 and then there's like the
massive thing and stuff
of how the person's actually feeling. Right, it's just.
Yeah, the Taco Bell one was good, too, where he was like, what are you in the mood for? And he's like, I could do tacos. Erase. How about a burger? No. Pizza? No.
Can I rip on a bad commercial?
Yes, please.
The Burger King Andy Warhol commercial was garbage.
Thank you. It was actually voted the worst by people, like 42nd out of all 42 new commercials. It was that bad.
Okay, like, I understand what they're doing. Well, here's the thing. The burger he was eating looked fucking terrible.
Right.
And he had to dip it in ketchup to make it, like, palatable.
It looked like a Heinz commercial.
The Heinz
bottle was facing the camera and was front and center for most of that commercial.
I forget where I heard this, but I think that was an actual original filming.
Well, yeah, because Andy Warhol's been dead for
a while. No, I know, but... that was the hologram. That was one of the actual...
Yeah.
Like, commercials that he did.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
Okay.
And, like...
The problem, though, is the NFL demographic, or the demographic they're trying to reach, is, like, 17 to, like, 25-year-olds. How many of them know who Andy Warhol... I was watching that. I'm like, I recognize him, but who is he? And I believe our dad's friend Dave is like, oh, it's Andy Warhol. I was like, is it Andy Warhol?
No.
Yeah, see, I think it is.
See, what's funny is I didn't recognize him by his face, but I recognized him by the style, where I'm like, this is slightly weird and campy, it's got to be Andy Warhol.
The white bowl cut, I was like,
right.
I'm like, I think it's Warhol. It wasn't until, like, one of them was like, oh, it's Andy Warhol. It's like, that's right. And then eat like Andy. I was like, no.
I'm pretty sure he didn't. It looks like he didn't dip it in ketchup.
He did.
I know, it looks like he did, but I'm pretty sure he did.
And the weirdest part is, when he got the ketchup out, he took the top of the burger off, then put the ketchup on the side and put the top of the burger back on. And I'm just like, then why did you take the top of the burger off?
Why, Andy? Why?
I need to know. I will resurrect you to ask you this question.
You weird bastard.
There was also this trend of, like, commercials being like, yeah, girls playing football, that's awesome. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's cool, but, like, you know, we're talking about all this, like, stuff with concussions and CTE, and I just know that, like, if, like, guys are having issues, like, girls are really going to have issues just because, like,
listen, ladies, we'll give you a sport, but it's the one where you die playing it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Come into our, like, horror pits.
Though the best commercial, I believe we all can agree, being football fans, was the NFL 100.
That was pretty good.
It was amazing. I like that. That was pretty good.
I loved that. That was, like, by far the best commercial.
I actually missed that on a tangent, similar to that, though. The tease at the beginning with Malkovich, I just love that.
Oh yeah, Malkovich, like, freaking out the whole time.
Yeah. And also, it also got me, like, super excited because I knew he was there filming the next season of, like, The Young Pope. So,
all right.
Oh, that, yeah, I was, I honestly, when I was watching that, I was like, so they just flew Malkovich to Rome for a Super Bowl like hype up thing? And like, but now that you mentioned it, I'm like, oh yeah, he's doing that.
John, I need to know, what was more exciting, that hype video or the entire game?
That, okay, so first off, like, you guys are like a bunch of con men, because like, I remember vividly having conversations with you, like, I don't know, 10 years ago, being like, oh, football is too much offense.
No, I agree.
Slugfest.
Okay, John. There has to be some offense.
The highlight of the game was a 65-yard punt.
I thought it was a pretty good game, Joe.
It was. Well, you're in the minority because
third down stops.
Simpletons.
Here's the thing: third down stops are nice, but when it's your 15th in a row, it's not that special.
When there isn't a play in the red zone until the fourth quarter, when the tweet of the game at halftime, after the halftime show ended, I know, and it was in the fourth quarter. But the tweet of the game, and it happened right after halftime show, was, I don't know who tweeted it, but it was like, imagine spending $3,000 on a Maroon 5 concert and a field goal.
can we talk about the halftime real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just for some reason we watched it.
Oh yeah,
for some reason we watched.
Well, I knew SpongeBob was going to be there, so I was like, "Yeah, SpongeBob."
I didn't even care that much. I think we were just playing with. I think me and the baby were just playing, and I got distracted. Number one, she loves Maroon 5 for some reason.
Oh no!
But number two, who was the second act?
Oh God, what was his name? The guy who kept swearing.
Yeah, because I kept thinking, I'm like, number one, who is this? But number two, is he singing or did they cut the feed? Because I saw him.
I'm pretty sure he swore. Yeah, he swore. That sounded like a censorship.
That was a
thing.
Long so I, censor. I, it was a
my,
long. Gap.
My boss and I rewatched the halftime show today, and yeah, no, he was censored 3 times.
Yeah, okay,
for swearing.
Because I mean, they had this whole big deal about what's her fate, MIA or Mia or whatever it was.
Oh yeah, MIA
she gave him the bird. But this guy he's had about 15 seconds of blank of nothing.
He swore a lot. Okay. For some reason.
It's supposed to be family friendly, right?
Yeah, well, there's kids in the audience.
Granted, I didn't understand a word
I was like, what? Are you saying English? Like, what's going on? It's the mumble rap. I fucking hate mumble rap. It's the worst.
It was not.
It's getting to the point where I don't even know why they bother with the halftime show.
No.
I think they should cut it down. It's what, half hour?
I don't know. We've had
you
some
what
like
they just do?
Decent ones.
They should fucking pay people to go and not make them do it for free.
Yeah, that'd be a genius idea. But the NFL can't afford it, John.
Right.
They can't afford it. They only make trillions of dollars.
But like we've had like decent ones with like Beyonce and Lady Gaga was good.
Katy Perry wasn't bad.
Katy Perry wasn't bad. But like, there's now that I'm thinking about it, just don't invite male artists. Like the female ones apparently.
The Bruno Mars one was good.
No,
I liked the Bruno Mars one.
Bruno Mars doing the drum solo was atrocious.
No, I like Bruno Mars.
Nobody likes a drum solo.
Half our podcast hates fun. So.
Solos are not fun.
The thing is, I think this is the problem with
your
the Super Bowl.
Your favorite part of that one was the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I'm sure.
I forgot they were in that.
Yeah, I forgot they were in it too. What was I going to say? The problem with the NFL is, and they need to fix it, it should only be one, not three or two or five. Yeah.
Hang on.
Just one.
The best part of the Beyonce one was with Destiny Child showed up. So
that's
I don't know
fact.
About that.
Well, that is, I mean, that is fact. Kind of an exception because she was part of Destiny's Child.
You know who's bad like that nobody talks about? Timberlake last year.
Yeah, like, but if like Timberlake came out that NSYNC showed
I'd
up,
I'd be all behind.
That'd
be
amazing.
That'd be awesome. But the problem is, no, he had to dance for 15 minutes and say 5 words.
Wasn't that that was the Prince? Like,
and everybody agrees that Prince. I miss the Prince, and I don't actually like Prince's songs. But everybody is like in agreement that Prince is like the greatest
Prince,
one of all
Prince
time.
Is one of those acts who's perfect for the Super Bowl halftime show. He's all about persona and like spectacle.
Yeah.
And that's perfect for the halftime show.
Yeah.
That's why Lady Gaga was good. Yes. Beyonce was good.
Katy Perry
was good.
You need somebody who is able to perform for a stadium, not for a group of, I hate to say it, but white girls.
And you don't think
but there's Bruno Mars so many like bands that are like broad enough to do it.
No.
Well, this year where there was all this controversy too.
You know who would be awesome, but it's not well or artists. It's Kaepernick, but that's a different story.
Musicians, artists.
You want to have Kaepernick sing?
No. Kaepernick was mad at everyone for doing the halftime show, and that's what sparked a lot of stuff. But who cares? But no, honestly, like, you need a band or a group or an artist or whatever that can perform for a big group. But the highlights of this halftime show, first of all, that choir was amazing. They gave me goosebumps listening to it a second time around. If you don't remember the choir, remember
it's
so
also funny how you like second.
Oh
time.
No! Well, because I watched it twice.
Second time around.
No,
I've never watched a Super Bowl halftime show twice.
Yeah. This was a first.
It's a little. Sean, you say like a lot of things that we just sort of take for granted and don't call out being weird like at the time, but we'll just let this go.
Yeah, but no, the choir was awesome, and then I really wish like Andre 5000 showed up for that Outkast song.
Right,
that would have been awesome.
That would have been cool.
Shall we? Do we have enough?
Yeah, we're good.
Discussion.
We're done.
We're good.
To be honest,
let's talk about the real shit.
Yeah, but Andre 5000's busy acting.
Let's talk about the real stuff. So
real stuff.
We're doing two movies actually based on true events.
So yeah,
let's start up with the first
one. And both about music.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what? This is the third music-based Oscar movie that we're going to talk about.
Very, very, very true.
This Oscars is very music-heavy and very gay-heavy.
Okay.
What?
No, it is, though.
It is.
Like, what, like three or four movies with like gay or something close to that? Like stars? I mean, not stars, main characters, protagonists.
Yeah. Favorite? Green Book.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Wow, these beers are actually affecting me.
Aside from Sam categorizing all the best films, so let's move on. Why don't we do Green Book first?
Yes, please.
So Green Book is a movie based on true events about an Italian-American bouncer at a club in New York City, Copacabana.
Who is out of work
for 2 months and is hired by Dr. Shirley, played by Mahershala Ali, who is an African-American classical piano player.
Pianist.
Who has been... who's doing a tour across the country. And it starts...
South.
It starts in Pennsylvania, and then it works its way west and kind of goes down, and then it hits the Deep South in the 1960s. And when the producers are sending them on their way, they give Viggo Mortensen, who plays Tony Lip.
I forget his last name, but
the driver, they give him what's called the Green Book, and it's about pretty much traveling in the South.
Yeah, it's a book. No, it's like put out by like the Negro Travelers Association or something like that. And it's just like, if you're black traveling through the South, here's some hotels you can stay at. Here's restaurants you can go to.
Yeah, certain rules, restrictions, things like that.
Yeah.
And it's very much a road trip movie. And it's about an unexpected friendship.
Yeah.
That blossoms between these two characters. And we discussed it last week, but Sam, I can agree with you. The acting between these two, two guys,
the acting is amazing.
Is absolutely
like
Viggo
Mortensen is amazing.
Yeah,
he doesn't get enough credit because he doesn't. I feel like Hidalgo is a black spot on his career.
Jesus Christ!
Get off!
We don't want to bring that in there, but I mean, Viggo did. Fantastic.
He always does, though.
So
he's
well.
Such he's, a good yeah. actor.
And then it was a perfect compliment to Mahershala Ali.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was a perfect compliment, and they really nailed it, whether or not, and there is controversy whether or not Mahershala Ali's character was portrayed actually that way, like written that way.
Yeah.
There is a little bit of controversy with that, but I mean, even just taking it as a whole, as a movie, those two played off each other so incredibly well that it's going to be really hard for me to say that these guys don't get best actor and supporting actor.
Mm, yeah.
But that said, the movie as a whole, it takes place in the 60s, and the car they drive looks great. I mean, I hate to say it, but it's
a Caddy, right?
Yeah, I think it's a new model, I think, but for some reason the radiator still shits the bed. But no, it's the small things that make the movie incredibly fun. For instance, Viggo, Tony Lip stopping to get fried chicken in Kentucky. Like, what? How often do you get fried chicken, Kentucky Fried Chicken in Kentucky?
Yeah, yeah. His whole character deal is he's constantly eating.
Yeah. And then Dr. Shirley, and he's like, "Hey, Doc, you want some?" And then Dr. Shirley says, "No, I don't eat that. It's something along the lines of not healthy or things like that. I don't want to try it." And then eventually he like gets to try it, and then he starts to like it. And then it's just those small little things that build and build and build this friendship up. And then they're going to have their low point in the end. But I thought this movie was fantastic. I thought this movie was great. And like Sean was a giddy little boy watching The Star Is Born at the end. That last scene in the bar when he's playing piano with the other band members.
Oh, yeah, that was a good scene.
That made me so happy.
Just that like callback scene where like he takes the whiskey off yeah. and puts it on the ground.
Yeah.
That was
exactly
great.
I thought this movie was so well done. I thought it was written kind of perfectly. It's the small little things, and I was very much in depth in this whole movie as I was watching it. I thought it was spectacular. I really did.
I feel a little bit different from you. I love the acting in this, but like I thought the story was kind of meh. Like, it's all right. There's not too many memorable moments in this movie, like plot points and stuff. It kind of just happens, and movie's okay in that that whole sort of way. Wow, I lost it there. but like, what makes this movie is the acting. The acting is amazing in this movie.
It's hard to top, and it's hard not to overlook those two.
Yeah, those two. They're amazing in this movie. And that just makes this movie for me.
Yeah, it's really just incredible chemistry between the two. And, you know, like we were saying earlier, just the range. I mean, you know, it doesn't really all have to do with this movie, but just, you know, it's like I watched this and then came home and watched the current season of True Detective, where, like, Mahershala Ali is, like, a, you know, detective trying to figure out like a missing girl case, and he's like fantastic in that too. And you know, I mean, we've seen Viggo Mortensen for, you know, Eastern Promises and all that, so you know, to see them come together in a performance like this, I thought it was great. I thought, you know, the cinematography isn't like blow you away in the same way other movies especially this year have.
Yeah, it's just competent,
but I thought the look of the movie as a whole was nice. Like, it was just very, very just generally appealing and charming movie, you know? And I think I don't totally disagree with you, Sam, as far as like the script. Like, it's kind of par for the course, not really anything that's super out of the ordinary or unexpected or anything like that. But you know, I thought it was okay. You know, I don't know how much, if at all, we really want to go into the controversy stuff here. You know,
I'm trying to stay away from it because it's more or less, it's not the movie itself. It's just the way the character.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly done. You know, there's an element of this movie that's a little bit like, just a tad like overly like too like saccharine or too like sweet. You know, like it's just a little maybe on the nose sometimes. And maybe, you know, if it was done a little bit differently, it might be a little bit better. But you know, I think it's good. And, you know, I think the message and the whole, like the soul of the movie is good. And I think it's a message that, you kind of need in the world at times. And I think people kind of criticizing it for, you know, not being, what's the word for it? I guess not saying the story from the right context or all that. I mean, I don't really want to get into that, but I think it's just important to say, like, sometimes a movie like this, where the soul of it's good and it's by and large fine, maybe it's not perfect, but, you know, you need more stuff like this than, you know, the other way around. You know, it's fine that it's, like, good but not perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can agree with you that it was it's a very uplifting movie.
Yeah, it's a very positive movie, which you don't get about movies about racism. So
yeah, usually there's a lot more.
It usually gets darker.
Yeah, yeah. You usually feel a little bit darker or more down after you watch it. But this is just
that whole criticism of, like, this is just racism, sort of made easy for white people. I kind of get, because I'm just like, yeah, this is very light portrayal of Southern racism.
Yeah, but I'm not
looking. But at the same time, it's like, to be honest, when I see this movie, it's the chemistry between the two characters that's important. It's that whole, like, Southern racism thing is kind of secondary.
Yeah, but I'm not looking for, when I'm watching this, I'm not trying to view a history lesson on racism in the South.
Yeah,
there's a lot of other places that if you really wanted to see how bad it was, you can go find that. But you just looking this as a piece of movie, as cinema. You know the story, you know the premise. It's this guy is driving this guy across the South.
Like, it almost would be a better movie if it didn't take place in the South in the 1960s.
Because,
like, if you almost avoid that and you just focus on, like, the two characters learning to like each other, it almost gets rid of that distraction.
Yeah, no, but
but it's an important, I don't know, Sam, but it's important because, you know, the stuff he goes through.
It's those things that he goes through that makes the friendship even closer.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like not being able to buy the suit. It's not being able to stay in the same hotel where he goes to a bar because he wanted to drink and he is essentially getting beat up.
Yeah.
You know, it's those types of things that make the friendship that you didn't think was really going to blossom so into something so strong. That's what those situations do. They make them even closer together.
And I just think, like, just seeing some things, like, you know, I just remember, like, in school, you know, like, a lot of times when we talk about racism, it was always at, like, very, like, extreme ends, like, you know, like, not to get too deep, but, like, you know, like, lynchings and, like, you know, some of the riots and stuff like that, like, you know, using, like, the hoses on the protesters, like, stuff that's, like, really, 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 like, awful, and not the sort of subtle, like, oh, hey, you're gonna come perform at our thing, but also, you know, use the outhouse, you can't use the real person's bathroom, like, geez, like, you know, it's stuff like that that, I don't know, you kind of, it's just still crazy that in some ways that was, you know, what's, you know, 20, or not, 50 years ago.
70 years ago.
Yeah,
no, 50. I'm sorry, 50. Yeah, math, like, math 70, is escaping me.
But
so,
yeah, I mean, this is just a feel good movie. And you know what else? Like, another part of it is when he gets caught with the other guy in the YMCA, and they, like, insinuate that he's gay. Like, what I really liked about
that was insinuating.
Or? Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, it wasn't insinuating, but, like, they never outright say it. But like, what I really liked about it was just that one line from Tony the Lip, when he just looks at him and he's like, "Listen, I've worked in nightclubs in New York my entire life. I've seen things."
Yeah,
I just really like that line.
There were some pretty good lines in there.
Mm.
There were some pretty good ones. I don't know. I kind of want to watch this again, though.
What was your favorite Tony Lip eating things moment? I enjoyed when he just ordered an entire pizza and folded it and started eating it.
That was great. Yeah.
I have to say, I think the fried chicken one was the best.
Or the time when he came home to his wife and he's like, "Yeah, I bet this guy I could eat more hot dogs than him. And she like gets angry at him and is like, what? I didn't lose.
He's always eating something. Yeah, he's always eating. Well, just final comment. I think this falls right where it should be in Best Picture category.
Of the year. Comparing it with like other films this came out this year, this is definitely up there.
I do think Mahershala Ali should win supporting actor. Currently, the only other competition I think is for Viggo would be.
I think it's going to be
Dick Cheney and Christian Bale.
I think it's going to be Christian Bale.
But to be honest, like I'm sort of leaning more towards, in my personal opinion, it's Viggo Mortensen.
Yeah.
Like he's just great in this
movie. I would
really
like it if they both won. Because I think those two together is unstoppable in regards to all the other movies. It's just, I don't want to see it split up like that. Because I think they were both great. So, numbers.
What do you think of Green Book as far as a best picture? I mean, I think it's got a decent enough shot. Like, I don't think it's the favorite or, you know, by any means, but I mean, it seems like it's got a decent amount of buzz. I mean, I think it's right now, it's like Green Book or Roma or maybe like another random one or something like that. But
I think Green Book, Roma, or A Star Is Born is probably.
I feel like it's not top tier, but it's certainly the dark horse.
Yeah. I mean, the way Oscar voting works, so it's like ranked choice. So, you know, if you have a movie that's like nobody really hates and everybody really likes or, you know, has a pretty good opinion of, but maybe is not their favorite, like that movie can do well, you know?
Yeah, I think we'll do Oscar predictions in a couple weeks, I believe, 2 weeks. So we'll discuss all that.
The week of the Oscars, Sam and I have our Oscar show. You guys are more than welcome to show up, but it's usually us two.
Let's do let's do ratings for Green Book.
Yeah, let's hear some ratings. John?
I'm going to say Green Book is an 8.7.
Ooh, okay. Sam?
I'm going to give it just an 8.
8.0?
Just a straight 8.
All right. Chris?
9.2.
Ooh. Very interesting.
Yeah. So, next, the next and final movie we saw that we're going to talk this week, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yep. You mean Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah. Sam, you haven't done a movie intro in a while, so why don't you do this one for Bohemian Rhapsody?
So,
Rhapsody.
So, I'm the one who saw this actually in theaters.
Yes.
And I just have to point this out. I saw, like, the matinee of this. Only one in the theaters when I saw it.
Wow.
This is the first time. Were you rocking out to all the music?
Like, not really. I, like, to be honest, I just had my feet up and I was just lounging. I'm like, so, Bohemian Rhapsody is a biopic about the life of Freddie Mercury. Or whatever his real name is.
First of all, didn't know he was Persian.
He's Pakistani.
So I didn't realize that.
Because his people came from Persia, but they moved into India.
Yeah.
Or modern-day Pakistan.
Right. I had no idea. So I learned something right in the beginning.
That's one of those things where, like, I heard, but I never conceptualized until I saw this movie. Because, when the... He came home to his parents. His parents were, like, Indian. And I was like, oh, yeah, I think I knew that.
I was like, this is weird. I don't remember this part.
So it's just the story of him and Queen and them coming to stardom. And it climaxes with the
Live Aid.
Live Aid. That's it. So... Anybody want to jump in with their opinions?
I guess. I mean, I don't. It's number one. It's a biopic about a musician, so to me, there's an upper limit pretty much on how this is gonna go, how this is gonna come out. But I didn't know anything about Queen. I mean, I know their music and stuff, obviously, and I knew that their lead singer had and died of AIDS, so I had no idea about everything else. And I mean, it was interesting to see the story, And interesting how the music was kind of introduced into the movie itself and how they kind of came up with it. And I am 100% sure there's certain... they took certain liberties with timelines of when these songs actually came out or how they came to be just to make it more palatable in a movie. So, I mean, I took that with a grain of salt, but I think some of it was funny. You guys pointed out the Michael Bay style...
during that one scene?
What scene was that?
That was when...
they were at the restaurant when they first met the producer, but I honestly didn't even notice.
When John New sent us that tweet, I watched that. It was before I watched the movie, and I watched that, and I was like, wow, there's a lot of jump cuts. Then that scene happened, and it was like, boop, over. I was like, oh, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. Like, I really didn't...
trying to poke holes in it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I thought Rami Malek did a great job. Yeah. I mean, I guess. You're trying to portray somebody else without a spin.
Yeah.
So it's...
He looked pretty good.
Yeah, he looked like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He definitely... To me, he was the best part of this movie.
Yeah.
He was, though.
I liked everybody in the band.
You're not going to get great cinematography, screenplays... You know, it is what it is because the story actually happened. So you're not going to get anything special about it. You're just going to get how these characters play off each other, pretty much. And that's how you're going to judge the movie. And I thought they did okay, you know.
So it wasn't bad. I'm going to jump in here with my take. Mm-hmm. So remember when we were all, like, uncertain if Black Panther deserved the Best Picture nomination?
Yeah.
If Bohemian Rhapsody has been nominated, you bet your ass Black Panther should be nominated as well. This movie is not great.
Okay. Before you continue, do you like Queen?
Yes.
Okay.
The music and Rami Malek are the good parts.
I feel like the first step is, do you like this band? If you say, no, I'm not a fan of Queen, or I know I don't really listen to Queen, you're probably not going to like this movie.
My biggest problem with this movie is, if you've seen any movie about any band ever, you've seen this movie. Like, all the same, like, plot points are exactly the same in this one. Mm-hmm. There's even a Yoko Ono character in this.
Right, but here's the, like, this isn't a original, like, unique, this, like, somebody came up with this.
Why should I handicap the movie because of that? Then if it's not an interesting story, then don't make it.
But do you know for a fact that character didn't exist?
No.
So why are you taking something away from this movie when you're not sure?
Well, if the character didn't exist, then it makes it even worse.
Right, but if the character did exist, and the character did act that way towards Freddie Mercury and Queen, why not put them in the movie?
But why make the movie at that point?
The movie needs to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm not going to handicap this movie because they had a life. The band life was like every other band ever.
Yeah.
Like you just... You had, like, the whole, like, they were obscure, and then through happenstance, they all ended up together, and
That was kind of it's kind of like shoehorned in there.
Yeah. You're
like, I followed you. I've been following you. And it's the second minute of the movie. Following you.
Yeah,
and now we have Queen.
That moment where they're like, oh, my God, he's talented? Oh, my God. Like, that's been in every single band movie ever.
Yeah. I feel like I saw that after I seen the movie. I'm trying to remember all the points in the movie, but I feel like after I saw that scene, we immediately skipped to recording somewhere.
Yeah.
No, there was no in between. Like,
when they first meet?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they first met, and then they started, they weren't recording, they were performing.
I know, but I'm trying to remember parts of the movie. I know there was stuff in between, but it was very forgettable.
Well,
where I'm like, all right, well, now they're recording.
Literally, it was pretty quick between those two, but what it was is, it was the first time they performed live together, where, like, Freddie couldn't get the microphone to work, so he just ended up just ripping it apart, and then that became, like, a signature thing. And then... they were, like, on the road, and they were, like, you know, selling out across London, and that's when, like, Freddie was like, we need to record an album.
Okay.
And that's, it jumped right into that.
And then you even had like the studio head being all like, you can't do that. They'll never play it on the radio.
That actually happened.
But that's in every single, like...
But the thing is, Sam, like, you can't be like, but that's in everything. Well, it actually happened. It doesn't matter. Like, no, it does matter.
And that's what I mean by you can't judge
right.
it based on the story itself. But, you have to base it on the, like, there's only an upper limit.
Yeah.
It's, you already know what happened. Yeah. It's just, you have to grade everything based off the
interactions. Listen, I don't care. Like, if I had, like, a really good lunch one time, and you made a movie about it that's 100% accurate, it's not going to be a good movie. It's 100% accurate, yes, but it's not going to be a good movie, so why make it? Like that's my whole feeling with this. Is like, yeah, okay, maybe this is 100% accurate, but, like, why make it?
But
it's not 100% accurate.
No, it's not.
Could I just ask you guys, since I haven't seen this, one thing that I think maybe people don't know going in is that they just lip sync all the songs, right? Like, these are all the, like, master recordings of the actual songs.
Yes and no. Rami Malek does a lot of the singing too. But I was reading that they took Freddie's recordings, overlaid Rami Malek's singing, and then, like, one other guy's voice as well, singing voice. So it's actually three people singing voices when Rami Malek is actually singing.
That was another thing. Where
it's not really him singing then. So it's like him singing over the other music that's also playing.
Sort of. He is singing though. It's his voice mixed with two other people to get it as accurate as possible. Yes, one of them is Freddie Mercury.
All right. So, like, I mean, it's not really its own thing then at all. It's like, you know what it is? It's like the, in the art world, they do these things, so they call them, like, original prints, where they just take, like, the screen-printed things, and then they do little, like, touch-up things make it a one-of-a-kind. That's pretty much what this is. Anyway, I guess I'm just saying this because, you know, in some of these musical biopics, like Ray or, like, Walk the Line, you actually have the guys singing.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we just kind of had this with Star Is Born, even though it's not really a biopic, even though it's kind of similar, kind of tropey, but anyway, I just thought that was interesting that it's like, oh yeah, and let's just nominate this movie for an Academy Award when it doesn't even do, like, the hard part, you know, when it's really just doing karaoke.
Yeah, and the lip syncing wasn't great. Like, I like watching the lip syncing, I was just like, at times I was like, yeah, this is lip synced. I can tell.
Well, a lot of movies do that, though.
Yeah, but, like, you can do it well where I don't notice it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think this should be up in the category for best.
No, this does not belong in there.
Best picture.
Especially when, like, the film I thought was best of the year, First Man, didn't get in there.
Mm.
Yeah. I think rewatched really... First Man over the weekend. The sound is still, like, incredible.
Rami Malek, I think, should still be...
Rami Malek
is good.
He should get a nomination.
I think the acting in general was really good.
Who
phoned it in? Like, honestly, like,
but nobody.
I think everybody did.
Speaking of, like, acting, it's not technically the acting, but, like, Michael Myers' beard.
Oh yeah, it looks bad.
It's just like they took pubes and glued it to his face. Yeah, like it looked horrible.
Yeah. It's funny that Mike Myers was in this movie.
Yeah, like okay, that's a nice, like, you know, callback where he's like, you can't bang your head to Bohemian Rhapsody in a car. It's like, okay, that's nice. And, like, I liked him in that.
Oh, God.
But no, it's tasteful, John. Trust me, it's tasteful.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not over the head.
That's,
No, oh, trust me, John. Like,
I don't know.
No, it Sam?
No. It, honestly, it's not, like, just, like, a ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba moment. I think you guys all know what I mean by that.
No, yeah, we know.
Like, it happens, and unless you really know what's going on, you're not going to notice
it. In the context of the scene, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, like, yeah, so.
I mean, I can't say anything else about this.
Well, I liked it, so.
I mean, it was...
I sat there.
It was entertaining for the 2 hours.
I sat there in the basement watching this before we started recording this. And before Chris showed up, I mean, I was belting out all the songs because I was the only one in the house. But I was singing along, and it was great.
The music was great because it's Queen. But
I love the acting. The only thing I wish they had done from a movie standpoint is the ending. So... The ending, the twenty minutes of their full set from Live Aid, which I'm pretty sure
is the
actual audio from Live Aid that they lip synced over. I'm pretty sure because it sounded like Freddie Mercury live as he was singing. What I think would have been awesome is when they go out on stage and then he sits down at the piano, and then right when he starts, I would have absolutely loved it if they cut to the actual concert.
To be honest, I had that same thought when I was watching it. I was like, this would be better if they just like all of a sudden cut.
Like
to the
can cut in with them making like, you know, all the money coming in, whatnot, whatever. Just the actual concert. Show the actual concert.
That was like a terrible scene when like the money started coming. It was like Freddie Mercury saved Africa.
But
like, that's what they really made it out to be.
Yeah, it was like,
I don't know. Do you know that didn't happen?
No.
So I mean, for all I know, it could have. I don't.
When was Queen
big? In the late '70s, the '80s. They made it big.
Okay, all right. Because I was gonna say they made it sound like Queen. When they were leading up to Live Aid, they made it sound as if Queen was kind of like a back shelf band.
Yeah.
By that point, they were fading.
Yeah, but then, so what? Just
they
randomly in 1985, they decided to be like, oh, everybody loves them, and they are donating millions of dollars.
They were huge.
No, they would be one of the bands.
I'm not denying they weren't big, but it's just, it's hard. It's kind of far fetched to think, like, Queen saved Africa.
Right. It's like, nobody's calling us, even though, like, we had Paul McCartney and, like, everybody else show up and do this.
Yeah.
Who's going to save us? Queen has saved us. Everybody's calling in now.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, it was so campy and stupid. And I'm like, ugh.
Should we give ratings for this? Or any other comments?
I mean, I enjoyed it. This is, from the reviews that I've seen for this movie, is so polarizing. You either like it or hate it. Mm. Honestly, like, you look at the reviews and
I can see why.
I think it's like the Metacritic score, I think, is like a 49, but like the fan score is like a 90. Like, it's just crazy how that the audience actually enjoys this movie, but the critics did not. And
I mean, think of the audience who is going to see a movie like this.
Right.
Yeah, Queen fans.
Yeah. And, you know, with that, I enjoy Queen. Like, I really enjoyed this movie. It was very interesting because it showed me a side of Queen that I never knew. I mean, I knew bits and pieces, but I didn't know. Now, I know Sam's rolling his eyes right now because he's like, everything is fake because every other movie's done it.
Stop talking through your fake teeth.
That wasn't my point, but all right.
But no, but I mean, I enjoy it. Like, I'm sorry.
You don't have apologize.
I feel like I do because you guys like trashed this movie.
I didn't trash the movie.
Well, I trashed
it. Sam trashed it and you agreed with him, therefore you trashed it.
No, I
killed
liked
by
it.
Association.
I'm assuming I liked it more than he did.
I'm assuming,
probably, yeah.
All right, should we rate it? Let's just get over with now.
Go ahead.
I gave this a 7.4.
All right.
All right. 6.8 for me.
Of course you did. no, and I went with an 8.8.
Wow.
Like the problem was like I was sitting there. I'm like, I've seen these exact things happening, and this is Spinal Tap,
which is a mockumentary, a goof. On like stuff like this, like
but it's like
it's satire, so it happened. Like, where do you think they get the ideas for these things?
But like
from a movie made 20 years later.
Oh god!
Like, I don't understand what your point is, Sean.
All right, no.
Also, this movie directed by a pederast. So
yeah.
Okay.
Also, FYI, a side note to those who are fans of The Pacific, Rami Malek.
Oh, no, no, yeah.
And the guy who played bass were in The Pacific together.
Mm. Yeah.
Rami Malek's in a lot.
Eugene Sledge and...
I forget what Malek's character's name is.
Yeah, I forgot what it is. Nice little reunion there.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, hey, they're working together again.
Yeah.
Also, Rami Malek plays a terrorist in 24.
He also plays an Egyptian king in Night at the Museum.
And the bassist was the kid from Jurassic Park.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Was it really?
Yep.
Did you just look it up?
I looked it up.
Oh, okay. From the first one?
From the first one and he's in The Lost World for a second.
He was the...
Tim.
The kid. He's in The Social Network, too. He's in stuff.
Yeah, is he really?
He's in The Social Network.
Yeah, unlike Lex.
Oh, my God.
Although, you know what movie I think she's in? We talked about it last week. Prancer.
Oh, my God.
All right.
It all comes around.
Yes, it does. Around.
Oh, look at that.
At the end of the day, Sam Elliott's just pissed at you.
G.I. Joe Retaliation. The kid from Jurassic Park was in that, too.
Yeah.
Look at that. He's in stuff.
All right, so why don't we wrap this up then?
Real quick, final season of Legion has been announced.
Mm.
The third season will be its final season.
All right.
Well, all of us love that show, so I mean...
Well, it's a Disney doing right there.
Probably.
It is. Yeah. It's Fox, Disney.
Well, I know that, but well, Fox... Anyways, I believe it was Mike Coulter kind of hinted that Disney was the reasoning behind the canceling of all the shows in a recent interview.
That's a different kind of... That's a Netflix thing.
Right, I know, but like, it's on the same Disney, Fox, Marvel kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Legion, probably good, honestly, that it's kind of coming to an end. I feel like that's a show you don't want going on longer than it needs to be.
Right.
So.
No, I'm fine with this being the third season.
Third and final?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's a good show.
And on a good note.
Yeah, you don't want to keep going and like beating a dead horse.
Well, anyway, next week, I think we only have a couple movies for Best Picture left.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite, Black Landsman and Roma.
Yeah.
So we might tackle at least one of those.
Yeah, maybe we'll have something else. I don't know.
Yeah, and then we'll have a couple other little things, something to do with the Batman, or maybe something to do with The Rock. We'll figure something out. So that does it for us for this week. If you like all the episodes, you can find them on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher. And if you have other topics you would like us to discuss, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/KnightsInNerditude. That does it for us for this week. Until next time.
Adios.
Bye.